Chapter 18, Text 34. Yayatu nama kamatan, drityan dariyate arjuna, pasangena palakangshi, titisapata rajasi. But that determination by which one holds fast to fruitive results in religion, economic development, and sense gratification is of the nature of passion, O Arjuna. Purport. Any person who is always desirous of fruitive results in religious or economic activities, whose only desire is sense gratification, and whose mind, life, and senses are thus engaged, is in the mode of passion. Text 35. Yaya svapnam bhayam shokam vishadam madameva cha navamunchati durmedha jati sapata tamasi. And that determination which cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, moroseness, and illusion, such unintelligent determination, O son of Prita, is in the mode of darkness. Purport. It should not be concluded that a person in the mode of goodness does not dream. Here, dream means too much sleep. Dreaming is always present. Either in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, dreaming is a natural occurrence. But those who cannot avoid oversleeping, who cannot avoid the pride of enjoying material objects, who are always dreaming of lording it over the material world, and whose life, mind, and senses are thus engaged, are considered to have determination in the mode of ignorance. Text 36. Sukham tridanim trividam shunume bharatashabha abhyasadramati yatra dukkantam cha nigacchati. O best of the Bharatas, now please hear from me about the three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys, and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all distress. Purport. A conditioned soul tries to enjoy material happiness again and again. Thus he chews the chewed. But sometimes, in the course of such enjoyment, he becomes relieved from material entanglement by association with a great soul. In other words, a conditioned soul is always engaged in some type of sense gratification, but when he understands by good association that it is only a repetition of the same thing, and he is awakened to his real Krishna consciousness, he is sometimes relieved from such repetitive so-called happiness. Text 37. Yattaragre vishmivaha parinami mitopamam tatsukham sattikam proktam atmabuddhi prasarajam. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Purport. In the pursuit of self-realization, one has to follow many rules and regulations to control the mind and the senses, and to concentrate the mind on the self. All these procedures are very difficult, bitter like poison. But if one is successful in following the regulations and comes to the transcendental position, he begins to drink real nectar, and he enjoys life. Text 38. Vishayendriya sangyogad yattaragre mitopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam rajasam smritam. That happiness which is derived from the contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. Purport. A young man and a young woman meet, and the senses drive the young man to see her, to touch her, and to have sexual intercourse. In the beginning, this may be very pleasing to the senses, but at the end, or after some time, it becomes just like poison. They are separated, or there is divorce, there is lamentation, there is sorrow, etc. Such happiness is always in the mode of passion. Happiness derived from a combination of the senses and the sense objects is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. Text 39. Yaragre chana bande chaha sukham mohanamatmano nindralasya pramadoktam tattamasamudahritam. And that happiness which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and delusion, is said to be of the nature of ignorance. Purport. One who takes pleasure in laziness and in sleep is certainly in the mode of darkness, ignorance, and one who has no idea how to act and how not to act is also in the mode of ignorance. For the person in the mode of ignorance, everything is illusion. There is no happiness either in the beginning or at the end. For the person in the mode of passion, there might be some kind of ephemeral happiness in the beginning, and at the end, distress. But for the person in the mode of ignorance, there is only distress both in the beginning and at the end. Text 40. Nattarasti prativyang va divideveshu vapuno sattvam prakatijaya muktam yadebi syatribirgunai. There is no being existing, either here or among the demigods in the higher planetary systems, which is freed from these three modes born of material nature. Purport. The Lord here summarizes the total influence of the three modes of material nature all over the universe. Text 41. Brahmana Kshatriya Visham Shudranam Chaparantapo Karmani Pravibhoktani Sabhava Pravavayagunai. Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material modes, O chastiser of the enemy. Text 42. Shamo damas tapakshaucham chantira javamevacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahmakarma svabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work. Text 43. Shayam tejo titir dakshyam yudhne chapya palayanam danam mishadam bhavascha chatram karma svabhavajam. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. Text 44. Kushigo rakshavanidyam vaishyakarma svabhavajam paricharyatmakam karma shudrasyapi svabhavajam. Farming, cow protection, and business are the natural work for the Vaishyas, and for the Shudras there is labor and service to others. Text 45. Sve sve karman yabhidatak saṃsiddhim labhate narak svakarman niratak siddhim yata vindati tatrinu. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. Text 46. Yatak pravittim bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam svakarmanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindhati manava. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. Purport. As stated in the 15th chapter, all living beings are fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. Thus, the Supreme Lord is the beginning of all living entities. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra. Janmadyasyayataha. The Supreme Lord is therefore the beginning of life of every living entity. And as stated in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord, by his two energies, his external energy and internal energy, is all-pervading. Therefore, one should worship the Supreme Lord with his energies. Generally, the Vaishnava devotees worship the Supreme Lord with his internal energy. His external energy is a perverted reflection of the internal energy. The external energy is a background, but the Supreme Lord, by the expansion of his plenary portion as Paramatma, is situated everywhere. He is the supersoul of all demigods, all human beings, all animals, everywhere. One should therefore know that as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one has his duty to render service unto the Supreme. Everyone should be engaged in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness. That is recommended in this verse. Everyone should think that he is engaged in a particular type of occupation by Rishikesh, the master of the senses. And by the result of the work in which one is engaged, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, should be worshipped. If one thinks always in this way, in full Krishna consciousness, then by the grace of the Lord, he becomes fully aware of everything. That is the perfection of life. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 12:7, Tesham Aham Samudharta. The Supreme Lord Himself takes charge of delivering such a devotee. That is the highest perfection of life. In whatever occupation one may be engaged, if he serves the Supreme Lord, he will achieve the highest perfection. Text 47. Shreyan Sadharma Viguna Paradharma Sanushtitat Sabhava Niyatam Karma. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. Purport. One's occupational duty is prescribed in Bhagavad Gita. As already discussed in previous verses, the duties of a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra are prescribed according to their particular modes of nature. One should not imitate another's duty. A man who is by nature attracted to the kind of work done by Shudras should not artificially claim to be a Brahman, although he may have been born into a Brahman family. In this way, one should work according to his own nature. No work is abominable if performed in the service of the Supreme Lord. The occupational duty of a Brahman is certainly in the mode of goodness, but if a person is not by nature in the mode of goodness, he should not imitate the occupational duty of a Brahman. For a Kshatriya, or administrator, there are so many abominable things. A Kshatriya has to be violent to kill his enemies, and sometimes a Kshatriya has to tell lies for the sake of diplomacy. Such violence and duplicity accompany political affairs, but a Kshatriya is not supposed to give up his occupational duty and try to perform the duties of a Brahman. One should act to satisfy the Supreme Lord. For example, Arjuna was a Kshatriya. He was hesitating to fight the other party. But if such fighting is performed for the sake of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there need be no fear of degradation. In the business field also, sometimes a merchant has to tell so many lies to make a profit. If he does not do so, there can be no profit. Sometimes a merchant says, "Oh, my dear customer, for you I am making no profit." But one should know that without profit, the merchant cannot exist. Therefore, it should be taken as a simple lie if a merchant says that he is not making a profit. But the merchant should not think that because he is engaged in an occupation in which the telling of lies is compulsory, he should give up his profession and pursue the profession of a Brahman. That is not recommended. Whether one is a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, or a Shudra doesn't matter if he serves, by his work, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even Brahmins, who perform different types of sacrifice, sometimes must kill animals, because sometimes animals are sacrificed in such ceremonies. Similarly, if a Kshatriya engaged in his own occupation kills an enemy, there is no sin incurred. In the third chapter, these matters have been clearly and elaborately explained. Every man should work for the purpose of Yajna, or for Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anything done for personal sense gratification is a cause of bondage. The conclusion is that everyone should be engaged according to the particular mode of nature he has acquired, and he should decide to work only to serve the supreme cause of the Supreme Lord. Text 48. Sahajam karma konteya sadosham apinachajit sarvarambha hidoshena dhumenagnir ivavrita. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Purport. In conditioned life, all work is contaminated by the material modes of nature. Even if one is a Brahman, he has to perform sacrifices in which animal killing is necessary. Similarly, a Kshatriya, however pious he may be, has to fight enemies. He cannot avoid it. Similarly, a merchant, however pious he may be, must sometimes hide his profit to stay in business, or he may sometimes have to do business on the black market. These things are necessary. One cannot avoid them. Similarly, even though a man is a Shudra serving a bad master, he has to carry out the order of the master, even though it should not be done. Despite these flaws, one should continue to carry out his prescribed duties, for they are born out of his own nature. A very nice example is given herein. Although fire is pure, still there is smoke. Yet smoke does not make the fire impure. Even though there is smoke in the fire, fire is still considered to be the purest of all elements. If one prefers to give up the work of a Kshatriya and take up the occupation of a Brahman, he is not assured that in the occupation of a Brahman there are no unpleasant duties. One may then conclude that in the material world no one can be completely free from the contamination of material nature. This example of fire and smoke is very appropriate in this connection. When in winter time one takes a stone from the fire, sometimes smoke disturbs the eyes and other parts of the body, but still one must make use of the fire despite disturbing conditions. Similarly, one should not give up his natural occupation because there are some disturbing elements. Rather, one should be determined to serve the Supreme Lord by his occupational duty in Krishna consciousness. That is the perfectional point. When a particular type of occupation is performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, all the defects in that particular occupation are purified. When the results of work are purified, when connected with devotional service, one becomes perfect in seeing the self within, and that is self-realization. Text 49. Asakta buddhi sarvatra jitatma vikataspaha naishkam yasiddhim padamam sanyasye nadigacchati. One who is self-controlled and unattached, and who disregards all material enjoyments, can obtain, by practice of renunciation, the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Purport. Real renunciation means that one should always think himself part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and therefore think that he has no right to enjoy the results of his work. Since he is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, the results of his work must be enjoyed by the Supreme Lord. This is actually Krishna consciousness. The person acting in Krishna consciousness is really a sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life. By such a mentality, one is satisfied because he is actually acting for the Supreme. Thus, he is not attached to anything material. He becomes accustomed to not taking pleasure in anything beyond the transcendental happiness derived from the service of the Lord. A sannyasi is supposed to be free from the reactions of his past activities. But a person who is in Krishna consciousness automatically attains this perfection without even accepting the so-called order of renunciation. This state of mind is called Yoga Ruddha, or the perfectional stage of yoga. As confirmed in the third chapter, Yastvatma Ratadeva Syat, one who is satisfied in himself has no fear of any kind of reaction from his activity. Text 50. Siddhim prapto yata brahma tatapnoti nibodhame samase naiva kunteya nishta jnanasya yapara. O son of Kunti, learn from me how one who has achieved this perfection can attain to the supreme perfectional stage, Brahman, the stage of highest knowledge, by acting in the way I shall now summarize. Purport. The Lord describes for Arjuna how one can achieve the highest perfectional stage simply by being engaged in his occupational duty, performing that duty for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One attains the supreme stage of Brahman simply by renouncing the result of his work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. That is the process of self-realization. The actual perfection of knowledge is in attaining pure Krishna consciousness. That is described in the following verses. Text 51-53. Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto dhrityatmanam niyamya cha shabdadim vishayans chakva ragadvesho vyudasya cha vivikta sevi lungvashi yatavakkaya manasa dhyana yoga paro nityam vairagyam samupashrita ahankaram badam darpam kamam krodham parigraham vimuchyanima mokshanto Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. being purified by his intelligence and controlling the mind with determination, giving up the objects of sense gratification, being freed from attachment and hatred, one who lives in a secluded place, who eats little, who controls his body, mind, and power of speech, who is always in trance, and who is detached, free from false ego, false strength, false pride, lust, anger, and acceptance of material things, free from false proprietorship, and peaceful. Such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization. Purport. When one is purified by intelligence, he keeps himself in the mode of goodness. Thus one becomes the controller of the mind and is always in trance. He is not attached to the objects of sense gratification, and he is free from attachment and hatred in his activities. Such a detached person naturally prefers to live in a secluded place. He does not eat more than what he requires, and he controls the activities of his body and mind. He has no false ego because he does not accept the body as himself, nor has he a desire to make the body fat and strong by accepting so many material things. Because he has no bodily concept of life, he is not falsely proud. He is satisfied with everything that is offered to him by the grace of the Lord, and he is never angry in the absence of sense gratification. Nor does he endeavor to acquire sense objects. Thus, when he is completely free from false ego, he becomes non-attached to all material things, and that is the stage of self-realization of Brahman. That stage is called the Brahma-Bhuta stage. When one is free from the material conception of life, he becomes peaceful and cannot be agitated. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 2.70. Apuyamanam achalapratishtam samudramapapravashanti yadvat dvadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantimapnoti nakamakami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Text 54. Brahma bhutak prasannatma na shochati na kangshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu man bhaktin labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. Purport. To the impersonalist, achieving the Brahma-Bhuta stage, becoming one with the Absolute, is the last word. But for the personalist, or pure devotee, one has to go still further, to become engaged in pure devotional service. This means that one who is engaged in pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord is already in a state of liberation, called Brahma-Bhuta, oneness with the Absolute. Without being one with the Supreme, the Absolute, one cannot render service unto him. In the absolute conception, there is no difference between the served and the servitor. Yet the distinction is there in a higher spiritual sense. In the material concept of life, when one works for a sense gratification, there is misery. But in the absolute world, when one is engaged in pure devotional service, there is no misery. The devotee in Krishna consciousness has nothing for which to lament or desire. Since God is full, a living entity who is engaged in God's service, in Krishna consciousness, becomes also full in himself. He is just like a river cleansed of all dirty water. Because a pure devotee has no thought other than Krishna, he is naturally always joyful. He does not lament for any material loss or aspire for gain, because he is full in the service of the Lord. He has no desire for material enjoyment, because he knows that every living entity is a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and therefore eternally a servant. He does not see, in the material world, someone as higher and someone as lower. Higher and lower positions are ephemeral, and a devotee has nothing to do with ephemeral appearances or disappearances. For him, stone and gold are of equal value. This is the Brahma-Bhuta stage, and this stage is attained very easily by the pure devotee. In that stage of existence, the idea of becoming one with the Supreme Brahman and annihilating one's individuality becomes hellish. The idea of attaining the heavenly kingdom becomes phantasmagoria, and the senses are like serpents' teeth that are broken. As there is no fear of a serpent with broken teeth, there is no fear from the senses when they are automatically controlled. The world is miserable for the materially infected person, but for a devotee the entire world is as good as Vaikuntha, or the spiritual sky. The highest personality in this material universe is no more significant than an ant for a devotee. Such a stage can be achieved by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, who preached pure devotional service in this age. Text 55. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tattvatah tato mam tattvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation nor by the non-devotees. If anyone wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take to pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee. Otherwise, the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will always be hidden. As already stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:25, Naham prakasha sarvasyah. He is not revealed to everyone. No one can understand God simply by erudite scholarship or mental speculation. Only one who is actually engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service can understand what Krishna is. University degrees are not helpful. One who is fully conversant with the Krishna science becomes eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna. Becoming Brahman does not mean that one loses his identity. Devotional service is there, and as long as devotional service exists, there must be God, the devotee, and the process of devotional service. Such knowledge is never vanquished, even after liberation. Liberation involves getting free from the concept of material life. In spiritual life, the same distinction is there, the same individuality is there, but in pure Krishna consciousness. One should not mistakenly think that the word Vishate enters into me supports the monist theory that one becomes homogeneous with the impersonal Brahman. No. Vishate means that one can enter into the abode of the Supreme Lord in one's individuality to engage in his association and render service unto him. For instance, a green bird enters a green tree not to become one with the tree, but to enjoy the fruits of the tree. Impersonalists generally give the example of a river flowing into the ocean and merging. This may be a source of happiness for the impersonalist, but the personalist keeps his personal individuality like an aquatic in the ocean. We find so many living entities within the ocean if we go deep. Surface acquaintance with the ocean is not sufficient. One must have complete knowledge of the aquatics living in the ocean depths. Because of his pure devotional service, a devotee can understand the transcendental qualities and the opulences of the Supreme Lord in truth. As it is stated in the 11th chapter, only by devotional service can one understand. The same is confirmed here. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service and enter into his kingdom. After attainment of the Brahma-Bhuta stage of freedom from material conceptions, devotional service begins by one's hearing about the Lord. When one hears about the Supreme Lord, automatically the Brahma-Bhuta stage develops and material contamination, greediness and lust for sense enjoyment disappears. As lust and desires disappear from the heart of a devotee, he becomes more attached to the service of the Lord, and by such attachment he becomes free from material contamination. In that state of life he can understand the Supreme Lord. This is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam also. After liberation, the process of bhakti or transcendental service continues. The Vedanta Sutra 4.1.12 confirms this. Aprayanat tatrapi hi drishtam. This means that after liberation the process of devotional service continues. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, real devotional liberation is defined as the reinstatement of the living entity in his own identity, his own constitutional position. The constitutional position is already explained. Every living entity is a part and parcel fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his constitutional position is to serve. After liberation, this service is never stopped. Actual liberation is getting free from misconceptions of life. Text 56. Sarvakarmanyapisadaha kurvano manyapashraya natprasara navapnoti shasvatam padamavyayam. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Purport. The word madhyapashraya means under the protection of the Supreme Lord. To be free from material contamination, a pure devotee acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. There is no time limitation for a pure devotee. He is always 24 hours a day, 100% engaged in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. To a devotee who is thus engaged in Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very, very kind. In spite of all difficulties, he is eventually placed in the transcendental abode or Krishna Loka. He is guaranteed entrance there. There is no doubt about it. In that supreme abode, there is no change. Everything is eternal, imperishable, and full of knowledge. Text 57. Chaitasa sarva karmani buddhi yogam upashitya machitta satatam bhava. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Purport. When one acts in Krishna consciousness, he does not act as the master of the world. Just like a servant, one should act fully under the direction of the Supreme Lord. A servant has no individual independence. He acts only on the order of the master. A servant acting on behalf of the Supreme Master is unaffected by profit and loss. He simply discharges his duty faithfully in terms of the order of the Lord. Now, one may argue that Arjuna was acting under the personal direction of Krishna, but when Krishna is not present, how should one act? If one acts according to the direction of Krishna in this book, as well as under the guidance of the representative of Krishna, then the result will be the same. The Sanskrit word matpara is very important in this verse. It indicates that one has no goal in life save and except acting in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while working in that way, one should think of Krishna only. I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. While acting in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the result to the Supreme Lord. That sort of duty is not in the devotional service of Krishna consciousness. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes through disciplic succession from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master's order should be taken as the prime duty of life. If one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's perfection of life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. Text 58. Machitta sarva durganihi matprasara tarishyasi atachetam ahankaram nashosyasi vinangshasi. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Purport. A person in full Krishna consciousness is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend, who is so devotedly engaged, working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego of the bodily concept of life. One should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. he is already under strict material laws. But as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated, free from the material perplexities. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. But a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. Text 59. Yadahankaramashritya nayotsya iti manyase mityaisha vivasayaste prakritistvam niyokshati. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. Purport. Arjuna was a military man, and born of the nature of the Kshatriya. Therefore, his natural duty was to fight. But due to false ego, he was fearing that by killing his teacher, grandfather, and friends, he would incur sinful reactions. Actually, he was considering himself master of his actions, as if he were directing the good and bad results of such work. He forgot that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present there instructing him to fight. That is the forgetfulness of the conditioned soul. The Supreme Personality gives directions as to what is good and what is bad, and one simply has to act in Krishna consciousness to attain the perfection of life. No one can ascertain his destiny as the Supreme Lord can. Therefore, the best course is to take direction from the Supreme Lord and act. No one should neglect the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the order of the spiritual master, who is the representative of God. One should act unhesitatingly to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will keep one safe under all circumstances. Text 60. Svabhavam jena kaunteya nibandha svena karmana kartunye chasi yannohat karishya syavashopitat. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction. But compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. Purport. If one refuses to act under the direction of the Supreme Lord, then he is compelled to act by the modes in which he is situated. Everyone is under the spell of a particular combination of the modes of nature and is acting in that way. But anyone who voluntarily engages himself under the direction of the Supreme Lord becomes glorious. Text 61. Ishvarak sarvabhutanam riddesher junatishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Purport. Arjuna was not the supreme knower, and his decision to fight or not to fight was confined to his limited discretion. Lord Krishna instructed that the individual is not all in all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, or he himself, Krishna, as the localized supersoul, sits in the heart directing the living being. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds, but the supersoul, as the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of living entities are directed by this supersoul. The living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the supersoul. As soon as a living entity is placed in a particular type of body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. A person seated in a high-speed motor car goes faster than one seated in a slower car, though the living entities, the drivers, may be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity so that he may work according to his past desires. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Therefore, one's duty is to surrender, and that is the injunction of the next verse. Text 62. tameva sharanam gacchah sarva bhavena bharata tatpasara param shantim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. O scion of Bharat, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Purport. A living entity should therefore surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, and that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, not only will one be released from all miseries in this life, but at the end he will reach the Supreme God. The transcendental world is described in the Vedic literature, Rig Veda 1:22-20, as Tad Vishno Padamam Padam. Since all of creation is the kingdom of God, everything material is actually spiritual. But Padamam Padam specifically refers to the eternal abode, which is called the spiritual sky or Vaikuntha. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Sarvasya chaham vidisannivishta. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart. So this recommendation that one should surrender unto the Supersoul sitting within means that one should surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna has already been accepted by Arjuna as the Supreme. He was accepted in the 10th chapter as Param Brahma Param Dhamma. Arjuna has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the supreme abode of all living entities, not only because of his personal experience, but also because of the evidence of great authorities like Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas. Text 63. Iti te jnanam akyatam guyad guyataram maya vimishyayatar sheshena iti chisitatakuru. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. Purport. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma-bhuta. One who is in the Brahma-bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Here the words yatechasi tata kuru, as you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the Personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. Text 64. Sarva guyatamang bhuyah shinume padamang vacha ishtosime dridamiti tato vakshyami tehitam. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Purport. The Lord has given Arjuna knowledge that is confidential, knowledge of Brahman, and still more confidential, knowledge of the Supersoul within everyone's heart. And now he is giving the most confidential part of knowledge. Just surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the end of the 9th chapter he has said, Manmana, just always think of me. The same instruction is repeated here to stress the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. This essence is not understood by a common man, but by one who is actually very dear to Krishna, a pure devotee of Krishna. This is the most important instruction in all Vedic literature. What Krishna is saying in this connection is the most essential part of knowledge, and it should be carried out not only by Arjuna, but by all living entities. Text 65. Manmana bhavaman bhakto manjaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyamthi bhatijani priyosi me. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi-forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna.